Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels on a non-victory Friday, Black Friday, another one, 2 weeks in a row with Black Friday, only this one feels a little different after a frustrating loss to the Detroit Lions last night in Detroit. Going back and watching that game, you saw a lot of good stuff. You certainly saw a team that fought back and fought tooth and nail to get back into this game and make it a game and actually make a run at it there in the second half, but way too many mistakes, problems, issues that we've seen throughout this season and indeed the last throughout the 2 years that this kind of squad has been together kind of reared their ugly head, whether it was drop passes, missed assignments and pass protection, things on the defense like leaving the middle of the field vulnerable for significant gains, not being able to get pressure on the quarterback, something that has plagued this team intermittently throughout the 2024 season. Funnily enough, the old bugaboo of run defense was about the only thing that didn't rear its ugly head in a old familiar way. You know, that was the one area where the Packers were surprisingly effective. But whether it was coming out way too pass happy, whether it was lack of execution, false starts, pre-snap penalties, you know, everything that we've talked about throughout this season, especially when the bye week was upon it this three weeks ago or so, every nit that we've picked throughout the year seemed to rear its head at the worst possible time throughout the game last night. And that's the other frustration. It was not like, oh, we just need to make this one adjustment and this team will be cooking. I thought for the most part, they did a good job of adjusting throughout the contest, but unfortunately, they were facing a team that was just as good, if not better, at making those adjustments. I think Detroit really got rolling there after the interception. Goff, that's just a lazy read on his part, almost predetermined throw. Nixon, great eyes on the ball to make that play. But after that moment, that offense really started executing. And I thought Ken Last put it perfectly in the Cheesehead TV Nation newsletter this morning when he talked about, you look at the end of that game, whether it is the OPI, which, yes, ticky-tack, but it gets called and brings a touchdown back. You got the false start penalty on Zach Tom. General lack of execution there in the red zone to take that lead and force Detroit to have to score a touchdown to win the game. You flip it over and you watch Detroit on that final drive, draining that clock, basically sucking the life out of the Packers and any chance of a comeback. Perfect execution. I mean, almost down in and down out and that the entirety of that drive. And that's a difference between the Lions and the Packers right now. The Packers have way too many self-inflicted wounds along the way each and every week, apparently, where they have a ton of talent, but that talent and the inconsistency that it has reared its ugly head, it's a little bit too much to overcome when you're playing arguably the best team in the league. And I say arguably because, you know, there's a month yet worth of games to play. And I do think Detroit's in line for that number one seed. And undoubtedly, there's a decent chance that the playoffs will go through Detroit. But it's not a given. We'll see what happens. We've seen crazier things happen down the stretch in playoff runs before. But right now, yeah, that's the best team in the league, especially in their house. As banged up as they are, to play as well as they did, as consistently as they did, especially on the defensive side of the ball, you do have to tip your cap and say that is a hell of a program that Dan Campbell has put together over there. Hello to everybody in the comment section. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody chiming in. Stu says football. I like it. Let's give a shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. Hop on board. There's a link in the description of this video. Remember, use code CHTV. My lineup last night, almost perfect. Except I need one more reception from Tucker Kraft. Other than that, absolute perfection across the board. How you all doing? Good to see everybody. Hope you all Spent the day licking your wounds, getting into a good frame of mind. Because, look, Green Bay Packers are still a very talented team. They still got a lot of ball to play. And I think they're going to look better for this loss. They are going to learn from it. They're going to grow from it. Hopefully, they get a little healthier coming into that game with a mini bye behind them out in Seattle. Because they're going to need all hands on deck. Soder, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member, brother. Packers not lost many games over the last decade. Last night's game was an all-too-familiar way for the Packers to lose, fatigued by it all. Yeah, that's what I was talking about regarding same old problems. There was, you know, a hint of familiarity about the entirety of the proceedings, especially, and I talked about it on the good, the bad, and the ugly. Just the, I want to call it pig-headed, but the approach on offense coming out of the gate when you seemingly have found your identity over the course of the last three games, and then to just abandon it so readily, I was mystified. You knew that was going to be a battle. You knew hard yards were going to have to be earned coming out of the gate against that team in that building on that night. And to come out and just try to sling it around the yard, I just don't understand it. Ed, what's going on, man? Damn, well, better find out what we need to work on now instead of the week before the Super Bowl. I like it, Ed. I like where your head's at there. Frank, thanks for the super chat, man. PFF gave Myers a 0.0 pass grade. Sigh. Yeah, I mean, Myers has just been too inconsistent throughout the season. He's had decent stretches. He's had decent stretches throughout the entirety of his career. But he's certainly had issues. And last night, again, way too inconsistent. I will say there are plenty of things you can point to that he's does well, he's done well, he did well last night. But the lows are too frequent, and not as a play caller, you can't know when those kind of infrequent or frequent moments are going to pop up. And oftentimes it's a lack of execution, a missed block, a missed assignment, etc., or even a missed call. And now you're behind the sticks, or the play doesn't materialize the way you'd hoped it to. It would. You can't live with that inconsistency at the center position. I suspect the Packers will move on this offseason, but it's not entirely a given. We'll see, but it would behoove them to find someone with a little bit more consistency at the position. Mike Malone, what's going on, man? Does Matt LaFleur get too attached to his plan? Seems like it takes a while to adapt when it's not working from the start of the game. I don't know. I mean, last night you certainly saw that third drive. He comes out that very first play, has that low crosser, the shallow crosser to Watson. Big, huge gain. That's exactly what I would do if, you know, you're talking about some team that's sending lots of bodies and pressure and guys across the line of scrimmage. Well, get your speedster there in a shallow cross and let him do some work. And they did. Watson fumbled the ball. So it's frustrating, but I have a hard time saying, oh, Matt didn't adjust. I mean, it was two drives, and then he adjusted, and then the ball got fumbled. And then that next drive, they pounded the rock and scored a touchdown. So I don't know, man. It feels like a pretty blanket statement. I don't know. I think you also watch how that game played out, especially into the second half, and they definitely adjusted, and they definitely did a much better job in every facet of the offensive game plan, attack, execution, etc. Is he too slow, too stuck with the plan? I don't know. That's a tough one for me. Mike Witt, what's going on, man? Honest question, why doesn't the league overemphasize the wide receiver push-off penalty like they emphasize DPI? So annoying. Be more consistent, Zebras. Mike, this is a complaint as old as time. I talked about it last night on the post-game chat. Yes, 100%, that's offensive pass interference on St. Brown there at the end. You're not going to get that call. You're never going to get that call late in the game, your house or their house, to put it in the Packers' perspective. St. Brown knows that. He knows what he's doing right there. And look, throughout the years, it ain't like the Packers haven't had similar moments. Jordy Nelson perfected the veteran arm bar at the top of the route to gain separation. You know, I mean, you can go back to Michael Irvin back in the day. Man's in the Hall of Fame, and half of his touchdowns probably came off push-offs in the end zone. So it's part of the game. Veterans know how to utilize it. as far as ever finding any consistency with it when it comes to the officiating, hey, never going to happen. Brad, thanks for the super chat, man. Hey, Nags, any idea what's up with the lack of Reed lately? Yeah, I don't know. It's a mystery, man. I do know he dropped that first target, but then after that play, he was not targeted again in the entire game. And I know there were plays called with him in mind, specifically the OPI play where Watson gets flagged after the Jacobs touchdown. That's a play where they're trying to get Reed out, leaked out into the flat on the left side. He just gets caught up because of the pressure. You know, Jordan Love has to go off schedule, and that's when he hits Jacobs. But yeah, for the most part, I'm balanced. He was completely missing last night, and I don't know if that was game plan, if that's Jordan Love just working through the progressions and not seeing him or is not being open. Perhaps because Detroit plays so much man, maybe they didn't have a lot of great opportunities for him to get matched up the way they wanted. I would think, me, a layman who knows nothing, I would think a team like the Lions that plays a ton of man would beg me as an offensive play caller and play designer to get a bunch of bunch sets and rub routes and get him free underneath and let him go to work with the ball in his hands in space. But that just never seemed to be in the cards. I mean, everything seemed to be predicated on trying to push the ball down the field. It was like Mike McCarthy was back with the headset. I don't know, man. Yeah, it was frustrating. Ryan, what's up? PFF gave Josh Myers a 0.0 first pass protection grade. We don't have anyone better than that. Okay, I'm begging you all to stop talking about PFF grades. They're not worth the pixels they're printed with. Yes, Josh struggled at times last night, but I can also show you plenty of plays where he's maybe not great, but he's fine in pass protection and allows the play to develop and work, especially in the second half. Guys, I'm begging you. I'm begging you to stop looking at PFF grades. Adam, what's going on, man? Seeing too many videos of people blaming the refs for this loss, but refs didn't keep the middle of the field wide open for Goff. Adam, it's natural. I understand people's frustration, and certainly there were calls last night that were pretty egregious and frustrating, and I understand why there are Packers fans going down that road today. I'm not here to beat that drum. I'm with you. I think, you know, the Packers had plenty of opportunities to do something about the game while it was in the balance, you know, to control what you can control. You can't control the refs. Talked about it last night. You know, there are bad calls and bad crews and disparate calls going one way or the other each and every game, each and every week, every NFL season. The best teams overcome it. You have to, because it's so prevalent in the NFL, you're never going to do anything as far as winning games, winning divisions, winning championships. You're never going to do anything unless you overcome those situations. Packers could have last night and didn't. Again, I understand the frustration with the officiating, but it's not why the Packers lost. They had opportunities. They didn't close the deal. Joe, what's up, man? 11 late down conversions to one, hard to overcome. I think it's, are you talking about fourth down conversions? I'm not quite sure. Or third down conversions, maybe. I mean, the Packers had one third down conversion all night. And it's something we talked about going into this game. The Lions have the best third down defense in the league. And I know they were banged up, but you saw last night, that didn't matter a whole hell of a lot. You know, they're going to play their style. They do a great job of getting those guys ready to play their style. The Packers had major issues with it on third. Chuck, what's going on, man? Though there's more than one issue, some pass rush would be nice. Go Pack, go. Heart you, Aaron. Well, thank you. Heart you, too. And yes, I think number one, the lack of a pass rush is leaving the already depleted secondary out to dry. There's no doubt about it. When you're not able to get the quarterback off his spot and you're allowing him to sit back there, make the reads and make the throws in rhythm, man, that's a hard battle as a defensive coordinator, as a member of the secondary. And I get it, man. People dial up the pressure. Well, he tried. Halfley did at times. And almost every time Detroit did one of two things, they either blocked it up very well or they hit him with a screen for a big gain. Ben Johnson's good at what he does. King Favre, how you doing, man? I think the team is still a year away from being a true Super Bowl contender. Do you agree? I think they need a cornerback, pass rusher, and help at linebacker. What position? I thought you were going to say, what POS? What position does Goot overhaul? I think, you know, obviously they've invested at linebacker in the draft this past spring. I don't doubt for a moment that corner will be high on the list. It almost always is. It wasn't this offseason for whatever reason, but yeah, I suspect you're going to see an influx of talent at the corner spot this spring, either in the draft or, you know, in free agency, where they're finally kind of out from under all of the kicking of the can that they did during the COVID years, the final push with Rodgers. So he'll have some stuff to play with in that regard. I do think they'll be maybe not a, you know, sign or draft three in a row type deal like we've seen them do at running back and wide receiver in the past, and going back to Ron Wolf at cornerback. But I do think, yeah, you're going to see the cornerback room addressed. Let's put it that way. As far as being true Super Bowl contenders or being a year away, I could see that. I see what you're saying. It's the NFL. Anything can happen. The Packers just have to get in the dance and then play their best ball when they do. Now, that's no guarantee. That's no given. But just because they're not hitting on all cylinders or having a frustrating night in Detroit at the start of December doesn't mean they can't go on a run. And I understand people are going to talk about all the misgivings they have with the team. And it's very apparent. They're all laid out there on national television for everybody to watch. But we all know it's a week-to-week league. Things can change very quickly. And you never know how guys are going to develop or when maybe a light switch goes on. Or the team just starts coalescing around the coach and a few different types of calls and approach, what have you. Man, it can turn on a dime. You know, I always think about that year when the Colts won it and they had the worst run defense in the league all year long. And then the three playoff games they had to play, or the two in the Super Bowl, I think it was, you know, they were lights out against the run suddenly, something they had not done all year long. Now, obviously that's an outlier. It's a very extreme example, but you know, the Packers won the Super Bowl as a sixth seed the last time they won it. You just got to be playing your best ball when you hit the dance. And we got, you know, a few weeks left here for the Packers to get it revved up and get it going and, you know, see what happens. Now, again, I'm not dismissing your idea. Probably on paper, you're probably right. You know, they've got a bunch of holes and they've got guys who just aren't stepping up the way they had hoped. But that doesn't mean they can't. When, you know, the rubber hits the road in the playoff games, it's one and done. Anything can happen on a Saturday or Sunday, or now Monday nights as well. But yeah, I wouldn't completely dismiss their chances. Let's put it that way. Aaron, how you doing, man? Just go kick the Seahawks ass next Sunday night and Bears suck. All right, well, that's well stated. Simatovich, how are you doing, man? Well, a lot of ball game left. The team can be elite as F. I mean, yeah, they have to execute. They have to execute with regularity, and that's something we have seen precious little of, as far as being able to play a clean game. You know, there's lots of talent on this team. It's frustrating when they shoot themselves in the foot with mistakes, drop passes, false starts, etc. Matthew, what's up, man? We got to lose four to finish 13-4, bringing the Lombardi home, Nags. Go Pack, go. Keep the faith. Hangover today wasn't pleasant, however. I feel you, man. I wasn't hungover, but man, am I tired. I'll tell you that. I was up very late last night. Janice, thank you for the super chat. Hate all this Halfley is Barry talk. There are way more hats to the ball. All night I saw our guys trying to knock football out. What do you think was our downfall? O-line, no pass rush? Yes, Janice. Those two things are, you know, pretty important as far as keeping your quarterback upright and getting the other quarterback on the ground. I'm with you, though. I don't see any comparisons to Barry, especially considering what Halfley's working with in the secondary coming into the game, let alone after losing two of his top defensive backs throughout the proceedings. So people are going to make those comparisons. It's fine, whatever. I'm with you, though. I see a different style of play. Still not quite as physical as you'd probably like overall, especially up front. But I do think they've improved in that regard. I mean, look no further than the run defense last night. I think they did a damn good job. And this is a team that has run over almost every team they've faced. And the Packers definitely held them in check outside of maybe two plays. I think they did really good work. Rick Harris, what's up? Can we agree we need to draft three cornerbacks this spring? Rick, as long as they don't do it first, second, and third round in a row, I don't need that juju, but I hear you. Soder, thanks again, man. Packers need to get over the fear of the big play and become more risk-oriented on defense. Them scoring on 11 plays or scoring on one play is the same. I mean, yes and no. I mean, one of the reasons, you know, the Packers were so frustrated kind of at the end of the game there, they barely possessed the ball. I think the Packers had some 40-plus plays, right? And the Lions had 70-some. That's kind of their identity. You know, whether you press the issue or not, they're not going to be dialing up huge plays. They're not going to be taking deep shots down the field more often than not. They're going to paper cut you to death, regardless of your approach. So I hear you, though. I did talk about this a little bit last night as far as when you're completely capitulating as far as continuously dropping into zones and letting things transpire in front of you and never really pressing the issue. That gets a little old and a little frustrating. Ryan, what's up, man? Does Goody regret some of the trades? Is that a Rasul Douglas question? Maybe. Especially when he's looking at things transpiring last night. But overall, I don't think, what the Packers are going to do or not do this season. I think it's going to come down to, oh, if they had Rasul Douglas, they'd win a championship. You know, they got a lot to work on. And yes, it would be nice to have a talented veteran corner. Of that, there's no doubt. But I don't think Brian's up there kicking himself about it. Abdul, what's going on, man? Aaron, do you see us improving in any areas, or are we who we are at this point? Any concern our O-line struggle with the line's second-string D-line with three starters out? No, because that was much more about approach and the fact that I don't think the Packers were expecting them to send numbers. They sent a lot of guys. And, I mean, after Zadarius had a sack on that very first play, they didn't sack Jordan Love again the entire night. Now, a lot of that is due to Jordan just being able to get the ball out, but I didn't think they, struggled as much as they weren't prepared for how the Lions were going to approach the early part of the game. I think if you look at the second half, they did a really nice job keeping Jordan Love upright and keeping the rush out of his face. So I do think your first part, as far as improving in any areas, I think they'll improve vastly when they get Edgerrin Cooper and Jaire Alexander back out on the field. And we better pray that at least one of Williams or Bullard is able to go against the Seahawks. But yeah, getting Jaire Alexander out there will change a whole lot. Now, does it magically improve the pass rush? No, probably not. But it may allow or embolden Halfley to get a little bit more creative with his pressure, knowing that, you know, if he sends guys and it does get blocked up, he's not automatically beat on the back end. Like, still got to battle. He's still got to work. Jaire's still got to make the plays. But, I mean, how many times did we watch last night whenever they went to man coverage? You know, that's pretty much a chalk it up for the offense on that at that point, especially when they're going after Eric Stokes. I mean, it's not like, you know, Nixon was some shutdown corner, but Stokes really struggled last night. John, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. 2023 Packers were the 2022 Lions. The 2024 Packers are the 2023 Lions. I see where we're going with it. This is something Corey talks about a lot as far as where they are in their respective programs. And I know it feels weird to say because Gutekunst and LaFleur have been kind of in tandem now for quite a while. But this team and core just began last year with Jordan as the starter, all of the youth on offense last season, now an injection of youth on the defensive side this year. They are at different parts of their progression as a program. Of that, that is spot on. However, all of that said, there's still a bunch of talent on the team, still got good coaches, still can scheme them up and win some games, which they have. But when going toe-to-toe with the Lions, it's pretty apparent who has been together a bit longer, is a lot cleaner, a lot more sound as far as down-to-down football. That is very apparent. Mimsy, what's going on, man? That was a top three worst challenge from Matt. Yeah, I was telling him not to do it on the watch party, but unfortunately, I don't think he's watching during the game. It's just baffling to me how every once in a while, Matt has a challenge that is so obviously an emotional challenge. Like, there's no way that the, someone up in the booth said, no, I think we got this one, or you should challenge this. He just challenged it, and it cost him a timeout. And funnily enough, as he told me as a joke last week when I was in town in the press conference, you know how he loves to burn first half timeouts. Well, he certainly did with that challenge. Marshall Duke, what's going on, man? I never blame the refs, but yesterday the Lions are getting some good home cooking at times. Marshall, I'm glad you got that off your chest. Dan, thanks for the super chat, man. Zach Tom has struggled a bit last two games. Is he injured? Am I right? There have been uncharacteristic moments from Zach. There's no doubt about that, especially letting Zadarius just walk you into the quarterback's lap. You don't ever see that from Zach Tom. I don't know if injuries are playing a part. I think for the most part, 90% of his game is on point. But there has been some signs of inconsistency. And hell, I mean, he had the pretty crucial false start last night. I don't know if it's lack of focus, got to refine that technique or what. But yeah, there have been some slips here or there. But I still think overall, Tom's playing at a hell of an elite level. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday. Go Pack, go.